Right. Open your Bibles to John. John chapter number 8 and verse 36. We'll springboard out of there. And Lord willing, we'll not quench the Holy Spirit. You'll probably hear me say that a lot. Because you know, when you get to get away and step away and you get to sit under preaching, you know, God is still a God of conviction. Amen. And I'm thankful that, you know, that he's a God of that can humble you. And I mean, I'll be honest, I've been humbled this week. It's been an honor to pastor, but I'll tell you, I miss preaching. I love sitting down and listening to the Word of God preached. And I look forward to tonight. If you come back, you'll get to hear some of the testimonies from camp and just how good God really is. Listen, we live in a day where people think God ain't even alive. I'll tell you what, you experience what we experienced this week, you'll know God's alive. You'll hear the testimonies tonight from some young men and some young ladies and some adult men and adult ladies. And listen, God's real. He's still working. I've seen him save 9 young people this week. 9. 9 people that a week ago, had they died, they'd be in hell today. But God's still a God that loves to save people. He's still about saving people, but listen, he needs some faithful individuals like you and I to get on board with what he's doing, and more people could come to know Christ. The Bible says in John 8, 36, the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you, what's that next word, church? Free, you shall be what? Free indeed. This morning I want to talk about the freedom or true freedom in Christ. There's so much confusion in today's religious circles over the teaching of God's grace. And I mean, if you've been around and you've heard, I mean, you could go listen to 5 different preachers and all 5 of them are going to tell you a different opinion on something, okay? But look, if you're listening to the right kind of preacher, and I'm talking about a King James Bible-believing preacher, one that fears the King James Bible and all God's people said, I'm not talking about fellowshipping with anybody that don't believe the King James Bible and all God's people said, listen, that's dangerous. It's dangerous, and it's hurting us. I know we live in an area, listen, I grew up Southern Baptist. I'm not preaching against them, but I sure ain't preaching for them. Y'all all right? I'm not. Never will. Why? Because they don't believe the same way that I do. And look, the Bible tells me not to be unequally yoked. Y'all all right? You can go listen to preachers anywhere you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. If they're not preaching salvation by grace through faith alone, they're preaching lies. I'm about tired of talking to people and asking them, why do you think you're going to heaven? And why do you think it is okay for you to continue in your sin after you are saved? Oh, because I'm under grace. And God saved me from it. He's not judging me. He's already judged my sin. Me and God are good. Hey, listen. Don't be foolish. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not what? For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of daddies that don't understand that them holding on to the little sins in their lives is going to affect little Johnny later down the road a whole lot worse than it does you, Dad. I'm tired of moms holding on to the little thing that she thinks is only affecting her. And then 10 years down the road when little Susie's 18 and you don't know why she won't listen to you and you don't know why she doesn't honor you. Well, because you didn't honor God. God gives us some very specific instructions on how we ought to be living in this day and age. And this thing, yes, we're under grace, and thank God we're under grace. Amen. But listen, we do not have the right. Nowhere in your Bible does it teach you that you have the right to just keep on sinning. Now, are we sinners? The Bible says, for all have what? Sinned and come short. Listen, we're going to be sinners till the day we die. But look, we have a Holy Spirit of God living within us that hates sin. And if you enjoy living in your sin, listen, there is something wrong with that. There's something wrong with you always looking, well, I'm going to try to find a verse to justify my sin. Folks, listen, we live under grace that we do not deserve this morning. Jesus Christ chose and that while we were yet sinners, to die for us. How many of you deserve that? None of us. What we deserve is to spend eternity in a devil's hell. But see, God thought a little bit different, didn't he? He said, you know, I created them, and if I'm ever going to have an eternal relationship with them, son, you're going to have to die. And not once did Jesus argue. Now, he did say, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. How many are thankful for that? So this morning, I want to help you this morning. I want you to understand that, yes, we live under grace, but it doesn't mean that we are free to sin because we live under grace. We are free from sin, folks. We do not have the freedom to continue living the way that we want to live this morning. It seems as though there are two radically opposed extremes, and then there are those who just waver in the middle. Because the Word of God is our standard, and it is our standard. Amen? Amen? Amen. I hope so. Both positions cannot be corrupt spiritually. The Bible never contradicts itself. Are we as Christians free to do whatever we want? Is there a set standard of conduct to which we should adhere? These are the questions that need answers. The only two answers that will suffice must come from the Word of God. It matters not what our personal preferences or opinions are. Can I get an amen right there? Look, there's a lot of times or a lot of things in my life that I don't have in there anymore. But I'll tell you, if I could justify them and I thought it was okay, they'd still be there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So a lot of things that I didn't really want to give up. I mean, for instance, I'll give you a couple right off the bat. It wasn't until February 2nd, 2015, I threw my last can of tobacco in the Resurrection River. I'll tell you what happened. I went in there. I was a youth pastor. You say, a youth pastor? Oh, yeah. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Here's what happened. I was at work, and the Holy Spirit started working on me. And a man at work came up to me, and his kids were in my youth group. He said, Brother Drew, he said, I got to ask you something. He said, don't you preach against that stuff? You want to talk about humbling? Y'all okay? He said, don't you preach against that stuff? I said, I do. I called my preacher. I said, look, I got to tell you something. I got to confess something to you. I need not confession, not Catholic, don't worry. But I said, I've been struggling with something. And I had just gotten back from the store. I just bought myself another can, and I walked outside by that river, and I started looking. I took that can and wasn't even open. I chucked it in that river, and I promised God I'd never buy another can of that in my life. You know how many cans I've bought since that day? Zero. Don't tell me you can't quit. Do not tell me you cannot quit. I have a Holy Spirit inside of me that gives me the desire to not do that. Another thing that I would change if I could, my flesh loves country music. So what's wrong with that? What's not wrong with it? Y'all all right? It's of the devil. Drinking, cheating, fornicating, adultery, drugs. What's wrong with that? My flesh loves the sound of it. Oh, Brother Drew, you're just... No. Listen. It was affecting my relationship with God. You want to know why? When I opened my Bible, even as a youth pastor, the Lord showed me things. But you want to know why it was like a struggle to even read? And when I read, it wasn't really all clicking, and I just wasn't really getting much out of it. Well, it's because all my sins under the blood, right? Might as well just keep on living in it. You know what I'm saying? Folks, listen, we got to stop living like that. We've got to stop depending on carnal sources in our life. And that's what it was. You know, I worked in a construction area, and people screaming and throwing stuff and just stress all the time. And that was my excuse for that. I'll just plug my music in and put my dip in, and I'll be good to go. But you know what I was saying, Brother Walter, was this. Holy Spirit, you're not capable of doing what that music and that dip's doing. Y'all all right? That's what I was doing. But can I say this? Not only is he capable of doing that, he's capable of so much more. See, I grew spiritually when I stopped relying on carnal things to please my flesh. None of that stuff was pleasing my spirit. It certainly wasn't pleasing the Holy Spirit that was still living inside of me. I wasn't lost. I was saved. But I was living in sin. He said that sin, absolutely. The Bible says to not defile the temple of God. Our body is the temple. I was putting stuff in my body that literally reads on there may cause what? Cancer. I was putting stuff in my ears that God said psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I was putting that wickedness in my ears, and you know what it was affecting was my mind. Folks, I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to tell you where your preacher was less than 10 years ago. And I want to tell you, if I can do it, you can do it. You can do it. The Bible says I can do what? All things. Through who? Christ, who strengthens me. Listen, not only did I throw that can of stuff in the river that day, what I said was, God, take this desire from me. Listen, some of you might say, well, you don't understand. I do understand. I started when I was 9 years old, stealing my daddy's tobacco out of the freezer. Y'all all right? And then had my dad sit there and tell me, all right, if you can keep it in your mouth for an hour without spitting it out, I'll buy you your own. At 9 years old. Y'all listening to me? That's how I started. I mean, a lot of years. You say, well, you can't just do it that. Yes, you can. I can do what? Some things. I can do what? Some things. Say it again. I can do all things through who? Christ, who strengthens me. Here's the question. Do you want to? What's your real desire? Is your desire to take that out of your life? And I'm going to tell you something. You say, what difference did it make? A whole lot of difference. Because I had some areas in my life. See, 90% devoted to God is 100% not devoted to God. Y'all okay with that? I had some areas in my life, Brother Waylon, that I was depending on the devil and the things of the world to bring me happiness and joy. And I'm going to tell you, the best thing I ever did was, one, humble myself. Listen to preaching. Listen to preaching. I mean, I would listen to preaching. I'd make excuses. I'd like, look, nobody even knows I'm doing this. I mean, nobody. Just the people at work. My kids ain't seeing it. My wife ain't seeing it. My preacher don't know. But I'll tell you what. When that man came to me that day, and God used him to come to me and said, don't you preach against that? Why would you tell them not to do it if you're going to do it? That hurt. It was like an arrow stabbed right through my heart, Brother Ian. Sharp arrows. What am I supposed to say? That's none of your business. Yeah, I'm in a stuck spot. You shoot that deer with an arrow, you know what they are? They stuck. Right? Nothing they can do about it. They stuck. It hurts. I was stuck. I didn't have no excuses except for you're right. You know how hard that was? How humbling that was? By the way, that man was lost. You say God can't use a lost man? That's a lie. He did that day. He was lost. And I was preaching to his kids. Y'all listening? That's how much God really desires to have your whole heart. You know, the Bible says, with my whole heart have I, what? Sought thee. Well, listen, is that true? Because if it was, every desire in your inner being would be to please him. No matter the circumstance. no matter where, no matter how, no matter what time, no matter who you're in front of, no matter the crowd you're around, whether you're at church, at home, at the beach, it don't matter, on vacation, at the ball game. Hey, your desire should be to please him always, so that people could see Christ through me. See, that is the design, correct? God didn't just save us to sit back and just sit there. He wanted us to be lights. How many agree this world's dark? I mean, the sun's shining out there, but hey, walk downtown Andalusia. I'm talking about Andalusia. Walk into River Falls. Walk down some of these streets in Red Level. It's dark. There's drugs. There's alcohol. There's immorality. And who are we? When we walk by, it's kind of like being lost. You see the movie sometimes, they get lost in a cave, they ain't got no lights. And what are they searching for in a cave? They're searching for one thing. What is it? Light. Right? Why? Because if there's light, there's got to be a way what? Out. Well, look, when we walk through our streets and when we walk in our workforces, in our workplaces, and it's just dark, when people see us, do they say, hey, he's got something that I don't? There's some light shining off of him. There's some light shining off of her. Let me go to them and find out what they have that I don't. How good would that be? Folks, that's what God desires for us to be. Lights in a very dark world. What exactly does grace mean? It is imperative that we define our terms. Failure to do so only breeds confusion. And by the way, who's not the author of confusion this morning? God. If you have ever been in a conversation where two people were using the same words but saying two different things, anybody ever had that happen? Then you know what I mean. Grace is defined as a disposition created by the Spirit of God. If the word disposition is unfamiliar to you, it is simply a nature or a manner of response. Consequently, grace would then be the new nature or a new disposition created in us by the power of God's Spirit. Grace is the outworking of God. There are verses used by both sides of the argument to present their views. Since each uses Scripture and the Bible cannot contradict itself, I'm going to say that again, the Bible cannot, will not, has not ever contradicted itself. Don't be so foolish as to say if God has shown you, hey, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Don't go to the Bible where it says a little wine doeth good for the stomach and think for a second that God meant fermented wine. He meant juice, a little juice. Listen, go ahead and drink your alcohol. Go ahead and drink your alcohol. Because you know who you're hurting? You. You know who you're hurting? Your wife. You know who you're hurting? Your children. You know who you're hurting? Your grandchildren. The Bible says wine is a what? Mocker. And strong drink is what? Raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That should be enough for you to understand that God takes no part in alcoholic beverages. And all God's people said, agree or disagree. If you disagree, you're okay to be wrong, because you're wrong. The Bible says it's wrong, and the Bible must be the final authority. Don't be one of these Christians going around, well, I'm going to find me a verse to prove him wrong. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because God never contradicts himself. His word never contradicts itself. You're never going to find a verse to or to justify your sin. Amen? God hates sin. He hates it. Don't be that Christian. I'm going to find that verse. I'm going to show that preacher he's wrong. Hey, look, I'm not saying I'm always right. But what I try to do is stick to the Bible. And as long as I preach this Bible, guess what? Let God be true. And every man a what? A liar. You can argue with me. That's okay. But I can't, and you cannot argue God, because he's always right. Amen? In other words, someone has a belief and has gone to the Bible to find proof for it. What we should do is read the Bible first and let that determine what we believe. Let's take a look at some of the verses that is used. John 8:32 says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free." And make sure when you read the Bible and you quote these verses, see, there's a big difference in the word make and the word set. Those other versions, they say the word set you free. Brother Wayland, that means God's not capable of making you free right now. My King James Bible says the word make. Because you know what, Brother Tim's? God is capable and did make me free at the time of salvation. How many is thankful for that? It ain't no setting free process. It's a making free right now. It's that, you know what setting free is? That means that's that work-based Christianity. That's that performance-based. That's like, oh, if I continue to do this and this and this, maybe I'll make it to heaven. That's why they're so confused. They don't know because they haven't been taught, simply because they took the wrong version of the Bible. And sure, you can, oh yeah, you can work your way to heaven because he's just setting you free day by day by day. That's a lie. Your Bible and my Bible says, make you free. Then it says, and if the truth therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. How many is thankful you're free this morning? How many is thankful you can't go to hell? Say amen. Hey, if you've never been thankful for anything, you better be thankful that you cannot go to hell if you're saved. I didn't say, will not, you cannot. There's nothing you can do. Well, what if I don't want to be saved anymore? Too bad, all you accepted Jesus Christ, he's greater than you. He sealed you till the day of redemption. Aren't you thankful for that? Boy, I know I'm thankful that one day when I die and I stand before God and that book's pulled out in them 60, the Bible says the books, you're going to be judged by the books, the book of life, and I think it's those 66 books right there. When he pulls that book of life out, he's going to go down there through alphabetical order, and I ain't going to be nervous because I know my name's there. Wonder how many of you will be sitting there wondering like, oh my goodness, Lord, I hope you don't skip over A and get down to the B's because my last name starts with an A. Hey, aren't you thankful we don't have to live like that? Man, when I stand before God, yeah, I'm probably going to be ashamed. But I'm not going to be worried that I made it in. Because I'm going to make it. And I sure would love to stand for him unashamed. Wouldn't you? I would love to stand before God one day. Because, hey, you know, we're going to be judged the things we've done in this life, whether they be good or bad. Y'all know that? We are going to be judged. It's like the preacher said this week, you know, imagine standing there and God revealing to you all the times he had something for you to do. And you said, nah, I ain't got time for that. Ball game's about to come on. Church Sunday night? Super Bowl's on. I got to go hunting. Hey, just today, this is how God works. Yesterday, we're beating the brains out of Andalusia 10-1. I thought for sure, I'm like, Lord, this will be good because then we won't have to play on Sunday. Well, guess what? We lost the game 13-12. They're slated to play at 4 o'clock today. I had to go to the coaches last night and say, listen, I'm sorry. I know it's All-Stars, but that's carnal. They said, what you mean? I said, Kelly ain't going to be here tomorrow. Well, you don't have church till 6. I said, yeah, but I can't get over here, play a ball game, and get back to church before 6 o'clock. Kelly won't be here tomorrow. They texted me this morning. They said, we had an injury and we had a guy quit yesterday. We're going to be playing with 9 people. If Kelly shows up, we'll have 10. I'll pick him up. I know you got to preach and I'll bring him back home. I said, listen, we set a standard in our home. And hey, Daddy, setting a standard in your home and sticking to it is okay. We set a standard in our home years ago. We're not going to put sports before God. Now, I love sports. I do. But when it comes time to be in the house of God, this is where I'm going to be. I even asked Kelly yesterday, I said, because I wanted to hear his opinion. I like to hear their opinion. I said, Kelly, let's just say I let you go. Would you want to? He said, nope. He's 12 years old. And look, parents, warning, even if he'd have said yes, he still wouldn't have went. Y'all all right? red light's going off everywhere. Would you have let him go? No. But you know what I want? I don't want that to just be Daddy's desire and standard. I want him to grow up and make that standard for my grandchildren. Because church is important. You know, he had practice all week. He missed practice the last 2 weeks. He had church camp and he had a family vacation. Guess what? He didn't miss a beat. He came out yesterday and the day before. I think he batted 8 for 10 this weekend with 7 RBIs. Started every single game. But you made him miss practice to go to camp. Oh, yeah, and guess what? He got called to preach this week. Y'all all right? What if he wouldn't have been there for a baseball practice? And God, you know what else he did Wednesday night? He came to me in tears. I sat down at the altar with him. And he put his arm around me and he was squalling like a baby. He said, Dad, I'm sorry. I said, what is it? He said, I've been so angry and bitter at you for making us leave. I've been so angry and so bitter because I thought we had it set. I thought we had it figured out. He said, all this movement has gotten to me. He said, Dad, I want you to know I'm sorry and I forgive you. And I'm not mad anymore. Hey, that come from a 12-year-old. But what if he'd have been just at baseball practice? Y'all all right? And missed the calling to preach. What if? Daddies, moms, set some standards in your homes. Be the mom and dad that God called you to be. Don't ever apologize to anybody for your standards. You know, I have to tell people all the time. People come up to me. I know we're in the South, and there were multiple young ladies that were interested in going to prom with my boys. And I said, too bad. They're not going to prom with you. You say, well, you're preaching against prom. Be careful. No, I'm not going to be careful. I want my boys to stay pure. Y'all all right? I don't want some young lady violating him, and I don't want him to violate her. Y'all with me? Hey, standards. What are you going to say when they get made fun of? I'm going to say, hey, yours, you know, it's like the young lady, I'll leave you with this, and we'll get back into this in a couple weeks. This young lady was at a public school, and all her friends were peer pressuring her. Hey, after the football game tonight, we got it all planned out. We got our dates. We're going to go out, and we're going to lose our purity tonight. We got it all planned out. And by the way, you know this stuff's real. Teenagers playing this stuff all the time. They said, you need to find you a boyfriend. This lady was beautiful, beautiful young girl. Find you a boy. You could have any boy in this school and you know it. Find you a boy. Experience it. It's going to be fun. We're going to go to the party. We're going to get intoxicated and we're going to lose our purity. It's going to be fun. She said, I'm not doing that. When Friday morning came, they said, did you find your date yet? You know you're going to the party. All these guys are interested in you. Came time. They said, listen, we're headed out. Are you coming? She said, no. And they started making fun of her. And you know what she said to them? She said, at any moment in time, I could be like you. But you will never get to be like me. Hey, what about that? What do you want for your daughters? How many of you got daughters in here? Raise your hand. What do you want for your daughters? How many got boys in here? Listen, what do you want for your sons? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. I ask you, Lord God, to meet with us in this next hour. Thank you so much for allowing us to have this Sunday school hour. Lord, bless the people that are on their way to church. Lord, let us have a good church service this morning, one that's honoring and uplifting to you. I pray, God, that we'll have free reign in here. The Word of God will have free reign as we're going to preach this morning. God, I just thank you so much for everything you've done for me. And Lord, thank you for these people, these faithful people that are here in Sunday school because they get to be. Lord, not because they have to be, but they want to be and they get to be. Thank you so much for the men and women we have in our church that serve so freely. Thank you for our children in our church that love you. Lord, I just pray again, once again, Lord, that you'll convict hearts this morning. And Lord, have your will and your way in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are.